I'd ask you to take your Bibles and turn to two passages of Scripture this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which is where we will get our text from. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15. These two passages speak of the topic for both last week and this week, and that is the rapture of the church. We took a look at last week 8 reasons why we should believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of believers. And this morning, I want to talk about what the rapture should mean to each one of us. What the rapture should mean. We're going to see this from the Scripture, okay? 1 Thessalonians 4, look at verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he says there in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. In these troubling times we live in, those are words of comfort. Jesus could come at any moment. And we're to comfort one another with the words that I just read. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 50. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 50. Paul says here, says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And we'll leave off reading there. So this morning I want us to address, okay, so what? You know, we said that there are 8 reasons we should believe in the pre-tribulation, a rapture of believers, and you know, some might think, well, okay, well, so what? Well, what should the rapture mean for those of us here today? And really, what should it mean for anyone in the world today? I'm taking a look at it because it is applicable to everyone that is in the world today. Now, there's a lot of talk about how this coronavirus has affected people in different ways. We know physically some have had it. Praise the Lord, we still haven't had any cases of it in our church. Amen. And we hope that that remains the same. And we know that many folks have suffered financially for it. Some have lost their jobs. Some have lost their businesses. Some have lost a lot of things that are financial in nature. Some have lost emotionally. They've lost their peace. They are worried. They are anxious. They are wondering what in the world is happening in this world of ours. But listen, even the fact that it has affected most people in the world, it has not affected everybody in the world. You say, well, Brother Jerry, it's got a worldwide impact. Yeah, it does. But you know, there's still places in the world that don't know anything about the coronavirus. I guarantee you there's some third world countries where they don't get anybody coming and see them, and they don't know nothing about it. But what we're talking about right now, the rapture of the church, it's going to affect, in some way, everybody in every area of the world. When Jesus comes back to receive his own, whom he has saved, to be with Him, each and every person in the world at that time will be affected by the rapture. Now, every person in the world belongs in one of two broad categories. I'm going to give you two broad categories, and I'm going to give you two categories up onto the broad categories, and then we'll be done. Okay? So I don't have a long, it's not a long message. I say that. I'll probably go 45 minutes. I don't know. But I'm, you know, it's, as far as outlines go, it's one of my shorter outlines, but these points are important. Category one are the folks who are not in Christ. Okay? You notice here in 1 Thessalonians 4, he talks about those that are in Christ, and he talks about those which have no hope. That's the two areas of people, the two broad categories there. Those that are in Christ and those that are not. The Bible refers to these who are not in Christ, as you will find them in the Scriptures, sometimes called unbelievers. Sometimes they're unrepentant. They're lost. In other words, they're not saved. Sometimes they're called the natural man. Sometimes they're called children of the devil, children of disobedience, children of wrath, and they're called dead in their trespasses and sins. Now we know John 3, verse 16 through 18, gives hope to the hopeless. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, listen, that whosoever extends to any individual in the world, any and all, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And praise God, He did send Him into the world that we might be saved. Many, if not all of us, have believed on the Lord. And it says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. You know, when I was first born into this world, up to the time that I trusted the Lord as my Savior, I had that condemnation hanging over my head. And he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So you got the believers, you got the unbelievers. And we're talking about the unbelievers right now. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So there's this broad category of those who are not in Christ. Now let me give you two subcategories here. There are those who die in their sin rather than in Christ. People die every day. There are a lot of folks dying in the world right now, even as I speak. I know there's a lot of folks dying of this virus that so much in the news. But listen, even before the virus hit, people were dying each and every day. And it's a very sad and tragic time for their families when their loved ones die. And it's more sad and tragic when they die without being in Christ. Notice verse number 13 again. He says, but I would not have you, and we're talking about 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now we'll see in a minute, he's talking about those that are saved, those that are in Christ there. He says, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. And he's talking about the lost. Those who die in their lost condition, there's no hope for those that are living that had these loved ones that are without Christ. There's no hope that of them ever coming to know Jesus because they died without Christ. Now, I want you to see that it's sad and tragic when they die without being in Christ. It's sad and tragic in because it involves an unnecessary death. An unnecessary death. Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Listen, if we all live long enough and the Lord doesn't come back, we're all going to face death. Every one of us. Death comes to us all. It's appointed unto man to die that one time. But you know, that second appointment. It's not necessary. Only those that don't know Jesus are going to die the second death. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I'm glad for the gift of God that took away that beginning part of that. Took my wages. Jesus took my wages of sin. He took my death. And as you're saved this morning, He took your death on the cross of Calvary. But listen, He really died for the sin of every human being. He died in their place. But they've got to believe on Him before it becomes active in their life. A gift does not do you any good unless you receive the gift. Jesus is holding out the gift this morning. The gift of eternal life. And He says, "Here it is, it's in my only begotten Son. He died on the cross to save you from your sins. Receive eternal life." But there's some folks that say, "Nah, I don't think so. Not today." And they're hoping for maybe another day that they will feel like believing on the Lord. But sometimes they die before that day comes. Sometimes that day never comes. They forget about the Lord dealing with their heart. And listen, Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15 talk about the death that is unnecessary. It talks about in death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. See, the second death is not necessary. It says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So what do we need? What does the world need? They need to get their names in that book of life. And the way to get your name in that book of life is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's the only way to get in there. And so, listen, people don't have to die in their sin because eternal life is available as a free gift through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I said it's a sad and tragic end because it involves an unnecessary death. That second death is unnecessary because of what Christ did on Calvary. Second of all, it's sad and tragic because it involves an unbelievable damnation. In Luke chapter number 16, verses 19 through 31, Jesus told a story about a certain rich man. And this was not a parable. There was a certain rich man He had in mind who had died in his sin. Jesus speaks about this certain rich man who died in a lost condition and woke up immediately in the torments of hell. He said, "Preacher, I really don't like, I don't like people talking about hell." Listen, you're going to hear me talk about it now, or are you going to hear the words from God saying, "Go in the lake of fire, listen, I would much rather you be upset with me and me telling you about hell here and preaching about the lake of fire here than for me to be remiss in my duties as a preacher and let you die in your sin and go there." In Mark chapter 9 and verses 43 through 48, Jesus Himself describes hellfire. It's a lot of people think, well, you know, you're just going to go to hell and you burn up and that's it. Now, listen to what Jesus says. In fact, Jesus had more to say about hell than He did about heaven. And here in these few verses, Mark 9 verses 43 through 48, twice Jesus calls hellfire the fire that never shall be quenched. And three times, in verse 44, 46, and 48, He says, "Where their worm dieth not," talking about the soul, "and the fire is not quenched." And Revelation chapter number 20 is a good verse to keep in mind when you think about this place called the lake of fire. Now see, hell is it's kind of like the holding cell. It's kind of like the jail cell until you get pronounced by the judge and get sent to prison. Think of the lake of fire as prison. You think of hell as being the jail cell. Revelation 20, verse number 10 says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone." And it says these words, "Where the beast and the false prophet are." So what's the significance of that? At the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ, what happens is the beast and the false prophet during the 7 year, who are wreaking havoc on the earth in the 7 year tribulation period, they, when Christ comes back and we come back with him, Christ's going to throw them into the lake of fire and he's going to cast Satan into the bottomless pit. Okay? At the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, he's going to let Satan loose for a season. And Satan's going to be loose for that season. He's going to put down the rebellion in the millennium, the end of the millennium that Satan's going to cause. And then he's going to cast him into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are or were. Are. See, 1,000 years later, they're still there. Okay? 1,000 years, they've been in there already. And Satan's been in the bottomless pit. But here they are, and he gets his end. He is cast in there. And by the way, that's who hell was made for. That's who the lake of fire was made for, the devil and his angels. It wasn't made for us. But, you know, that's where we'll go if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's category two of those who are not in Christ. And that is those who are alive when Jesus comes in the clouds. They're going to, when Jesus comes, there are going to be a lot of folks on this earth that are not saved when Jesus comes back. They're going to be lost. What's going to happen to the people that are left behind? We saw very clearly last week that the folks in this category who are physically alive but not in Christ will be those who are left behind to go through the awful time on this earth known as the tribulation. Okay? Daniel chapter number 12, verse number 1. The Lord calls it there. He gave Daniel this description. He says, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. Now, it seems like the troubles are increasing as we get toward the Lord coming back. And I believe that be the case, and we're going to continue to see them increasing. Okay, but the Lord's going to come back before the man of sin is revealed, the Antichrist. But he says when this happens, the 7 year period, that is going to be a time of trouble as never been before, and never since a nation, even to that time. So that means that it's going to be worse than what we're going through now. Okay? Matthew 24, 21, Jesus said, for then shall be great tribulation, such as what was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, I want you to understand the tribulation period will be a time when the baddest of the bad, the most evil world leader who has ever lived, the Antichrist, will be revealed and will be ruler of the entire world. We talked about the mystery of iniquity last week, just a little bit. You know, the mystery of iniquity, the Bible says, is already at work. And we can see it at work in our day. And it's already at work to bring about the one world government and one world religion. You see how close we are to the one world government? Have you heard the number of world leaders that say, we need somebody to be able to bring this all together and everybody be just under one leader and everybody doing the same thing for this coronavirus? This is just a staging thing for when Antichrist will come. Now, understand that the unholy Trinity, yes, there is an unholy Trinity, the unholy Trinity will be active in the world and he will be wreaking havoc on the entire population of the world who makes up this unholy Trinity. Who's the unholy Trinity? Well, Satan himself, who will be at work in the other two. The second one is the political leader that will be known as the Antichrist. He's also known as the beast, the man of sin, the son of perdition, that wicked. He's going to rule in the one world government that is to come. And then you're going to have, thirdly, the religious leader known as the false prophet. He's going to head up the one world religion, which will worship the Antichrist. All right? And add to that the fact that the wrath of God will be poured out upon the entire world for that seven-year period. How bad will it be? Let me just give you an indication. The death toll just from the opening of the fourth seal judgment. Now understand, there are seven seal judgments. When you open that last seventh seal, it enters in the trumpet judgments. There's seven of them. When that seventh trumpet sounds, there are seven vial or bowl judgments. Okay? So you've got 21 seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials. Just the fourth seal, that's at the beginning, who is the rider of the pale horse, death. Death will wipe out one-fourth of the world's population at that time. That's what Scripture says. So you believe that, preacher? I take God at His word. Amen? Take God at His word. Now, for a moment, let's assume that of the approximately 2 billion people in Christendom, you know, there's a big umbrella called Christendom. Not everybody that's under the umbrella of Christendom is a Christian. They're not a believer in Christ. Some of them involve some cults. They just do. But let's assume for a minute that half of those are born-again believers that are living right now. Now, I imagine that's probably a little high, but we'll just say consider half of them. So 1 billion Christians are legitimate. Now, the world's population is just over 7.75 billion people right now. So we'll assume that of the 7.75 billion, 1 billion are raptured, leaving 6.75 billion people to go through the tribulation period. If one-fourth of the earth's population is killed with the fourth seal, that is 1.69 billion with a B. 1.69. You think this coronavirus is going to kill a lot of people? You ain't seen nothing yet. Listen, in order to give you a perspective of this devastation, we're talking about Memorial Day weekend, and I thank God for the soldiers who gave their lives on the battlefield that we might worship freely, and that we might enjoy the freedoms that we have here in this land. But listen, there were a lot of folks killed. And with these figures that I just shared with you in mind, that would be almost 19 times the total number of people killed in both World War I and World War II together. 9 times. There were 16.5 million killed in the First World War. There were 72 million killed in the Second World War. It's more than 281 times the number of Jews killed by Hitler in the Holocaust. Now, I want you to think about this. Hitler is probably held up as being the baddest of the bad right now. Do you see where when the Antichrist is in control and he's going to be largely responsible for the death of a lot of what is going on? How that Hitler was really a saint compared to the Antichrist, and he wasn't a saint. He killed 6 million Jews. He killed 11 million total people because of the Holocaust. Now, it's 5.12 times the population of the United States of America today. There's approximately 330 million people in the United States, the population. Five times the population of our country. So, see, there's a lot of people in the world. Okay? What I'm saying, folks, any way you cut it, that's a lot of people. And trust me when I say that you don't want to be in this category. Also, you don't want those that you love to be in this category. So what the rapture should mean to those that are in this category, that are not in Christ, that don't know Christ as their Savior, simply is this. get out of that category and come to know Christ by grace through faith today, because that's the only way to Him. Jesus is the only one that can save you. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you need to get out of that first category because, listen, you could die or Jesus could come back anytime. And you're talking about the scenarios that I just talked about. Receive the good news of the gospel. And then you can be comforted with the words of Scripture. In fact, if you are in category one, that is, you're not in Christ this morning, all I have to offer you is the good news of the gospel. If you don't have the good news of the gospel, it's all bad news for you. All bad news. Receive the Lord. It's bad for you if you die before Jesus comes back. It's bad for you if you're living when Jesus comes back. So you must repent of your sin, of unbelief, and trust Christ alone. Don't put it off. He paid the price of your sins on the cross of Calvary, shed His precious blood. He arose again out of the grave 3 days later, triumphantly. And that's what the passage that we read over there in 1 Corinthians 15 was talking about. Death is swallowed up in victory. When we are raised from the dead, just like Christ was raised from the dead, He was the first fruits, and we're going to be those that come after Him. And death is going to be swallowed up in victory. Praise God. So, category one are those folks who are not in Christ. Here's category two. Category two are those who are in Christ. You're in one or the other. You're either traveling the broad road to destruction this morning, or you're traveling the narrow road that leads to life, and that's through Christ. The Bible refers to those who are in Christ as believers, as saved, as born again, as saints, as the sons of God or the children of God, and as brethren or and sisters. Okay, I'm going to say sistren. I don't know why it's sisters and it's brethren, brothers and sisters. I don't know. Anyway, understand that there are two categories within this category. Category one are those who have died before Christ comes. Most of us have loved ones in this category. Am I right? We have loved ones that knew the Lord, and they're no longer with us. And we could name some, and we'd surely miss out on naming some this morning, and I wouldn't even know all of your loved ones. But what I'm saying is we all know someone who has died before the Lord came back. And these are those that Paul referred to here as them that are asleep in verse 13. He talked about them that are asleep. He's talking about people who died in Christ. He's talking about, though, in verse 14, them which sleep in Jesus. In verse 15, he called them which are asleep again. And then in verse 16, he calls them the dead in Christ. Now, those are the folks that died in Christ before the rapture. Their bodies were buried, but their soul and spirit are with Jesus. Amen? That's what happens. You die, they have a funeral for you, they plant the body in the ground, or they have a cremation and you're put in an urn or you spread across wherever. But you're dead, physically speaking. But you're alive in Christ. Listen, your soul and spirit go to be with Jesus immediately. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Listen, when your loved one went and left you behind, they gained heaven. They were ushered immediately into the presence of Christ. Now, in Philippians 1:23, Paul said, for I am in a strait betwixt two. He says, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. Paul wanted to go on. Because why? He said, which is far better. It's far better than living in this world. If your loved one died in Christ, they're in a better place. They're not having to deal with the things that you and I are having to deal with now. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 6 and 8. Paul said there, he said, therefore we are always confident knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And he said in verse 8, he said, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen? So category 1, those who have died before Christ comes. Now category 2, a subcategory of this one, is those who are alive when Christ comes. And we're almost done, okay? Those who are alive when Christ comes. Now, this is the category that every believer hopes to be in. Am I right? You don't want to die. You want to be caught up in the rapture. Amen? I do. I hope you do too. So, these are the ones spoken of by the Apostle Paul here in verse number 17, where he says, then we which are alive and remain shall be called up. See, in verse 16, he's got the dead in Christ going to rise first. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so, even Paul here was hoping and even expecting to be in this category. He said, we which are alive. That means Christ could come at any time, and I'm hoping I'm one of them. That's what Paul's saying there. We which are alive and remain. But he wasn't. He died. And he went to be with the Lord in that first group. Listen, Titus 2:13 says we are to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, let me reiterate, those who die in Christ before Jesus comes back are with the Lord right now while their bodies are still in the grave. Their bodies in the grave, soul, spirit with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13 says that God will bring them with Him. Look at verse 13 again. Would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. So He's going to bring soul and spirit to be joined back again with the body, but it's not going to be the body, that body of corruption anymore. He's going to change it into a body just like His own. Amen? Amen. And that's what we read in 1 Corinthians 15. That's, you know, this corruption can inherit incorruption. This mortal can inherit immortality. What's going to happen? We're going to be changed. He said, we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He's talking about believers there in 1 Corinthians 15. So, for the believer, what should it mean for us? Great comfort. Amen? It's great comfort. Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. It's comfort because we're going to see our saved loved ones again, and we'll be reunited with them, but we will also be reunited with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? What great comfort there is in these words if you are in Christ. There's great comfort. What great comfort there is in these words if your loved ones are in Christ. The question this morning is this. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? And if you're not in Christ, why don't you let us help you come to know Christ today? And we'd be glad to sit down with the Bible and show you how you can know Christ. And we trust that you won't leave here today without being in Christ, without the assurance that you're in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for Christ, what He did for us on the cross of Calvary, the blood that was shed, His body that was broken on our behalf, Lord, the victorious resurrection that was on our behalf also. Because as He lives, we know that we live too. Yes, physical death may come, but then Jesus may come before that physical death comes. And either way, if physical death comes or Jesus comes, we're going to be with Jesus. We're going to be with our saved loved ones. Lord, we give you praise for that. We thank you for the comfort that that brings to the hearts of those of us that are saved. But Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know you, before they leave today, help them to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.